And welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm Ethan Estrada. Alongside me, the sunbathing Soren O'Connell. And our game statistician for the day will be Forrest Hunt. Well, for this game, as Allie Waldman will be in the circle for game number two as she gets ready to face off against Kayla Brassard in the leadoff spot for APU. The first pitch misses low, and that's how we are underway. It is 4:15 game time. Well, 4:13 game time. Our computer 2 minutes ahead. Can't really tell the weather, but it is windy, so it's probably not exactly what the temperature says it is with the wind chill.
62 degrees on my weather app here, Ethan.
A bunt will be fouled back by Brassard. One ball and one strike.
I'd say with the wind chill, we're probably looking at upper 50s. 40, actually. Our statistician, Forrest Hunt, with the correction. Thank you, Forrest.
He's all over that one. Why else would he be here? As the next pitch to Brassard is called a strike. So it'll be one ball and two strikes. Waldman in control.
Coming into today, Azusa Pacific third in the Pac West at 15-8 in conference, 24-14 overall. Of course, they won the first game of the doubleheader as Brassard takes outside, so that'll be 25-14 now for the Cougars. Very impressive.
After playing Dominican, coming in to play Dominican, APU was on a little bit of a slump. Hadn't won as many games as people around APU had hoped as Waldman's pitch misses outside, counted full. But after coming out of Dominican with a doubleheader sweep, they've just taken off. As Waldman will try to get the first out of the inning, you do not want Brassard to touch first base. The next pitch, ground ball off of Waldman, ricochets back, but Ramirez has no chance with Broussard's speed. So she's on first with an infield single.
Talk about dangerous hitters. Penguins have a similar player to Brassard and Mackenzie Schumacher, but Brassard really in a league of her own, hitting over 400 on the season. She's also 21 for 24 on stolen base attempts, so we'll have to keep an eye over here on first base during this second at bat.
And you're talking about stolen bases. What helps the Penguins in that department is Waltman's almost strictly fastball. She pitches one there, Chinchilla's throw down to second base. Couldn't be picked cleanly by Ramirez, but either way, I think that's a clean stolen bag for Brassard on the first pitch of the at bat. No balls, one strike. So Waldman, you'll see an arsenal of fastball, rise ball, changeup. That's what she'll mostly throw at you. As the 0-1 pitch on its way, misses outside, kind of a semi-pitch out on that one. One ball, one strike.
Brassard down at second base, got the whole infield really just confused. She almost took off her third base, and you know, with a good jump, I wouldn't put it past her to make it.
The next pitch is bunted by Fryhill. Coming in is the third baseman Dennis. Throw to first. Nice job by Christensen to readjust to the throw, but all it is a successful sacrifice, and moving over to third base is Brassard. And now stepping in will be Danny Burghardt, the starting third baseman.
Burghardt with an OPS of over one coming into this game. 1.084 and a .377 batting average. This is just about the perfect hitter to have up. And if you're APU, runner on third base, one out, looking to take an early lead.
First pitch to Burghardt, misses down and away with a changeup for ball number one. On deck, the ever dangerous Melanie Abzun.
And this APU lineup just stacked with talented hitters, hitting .296 as a team. Pretty much never see that at any level of the
next
game.
Next pitch from Waldman, line drive, caught by Reyes. Throw to the plate is not in time with Broussard's speed. So after the sacrifice bunt, you have a sacrifice fly. And just like that, small ball works and gets APU on the board.
Small ball certainly does work, Ethan. Giants won about 3 World Series in 5 years with small ball, if I remember correctly.
As Abzun will now dig in, and you know she's trying for everything but to play small ball. She wants to hit it the other way and hit it out. First pitch from Waldman to Abzun's calling the strike over the inside corner. Home plate umpire for today, for the second game in today's doubleheader, will be Paul Heathcote, who was the third base umpire in game number one. Next pitch from Waltman. She hits the outside corner for strike two. And so far, compared to Frank Obispo, who's now the first base umpire, his strike zone in game one, it seems like Paul Heathcote's going to have a much larger zone to work with.
Well, regardless of whatever the strike zone is, I wouldn't recommend throwing anything near the zone here.
And that's exactly what Waltman does, and it's past the dive of Alyssa Ramirez at short. Schumacher's there to corral to keep Abzun to a base hit.
Impressive play by Abzun there. Ball was down in the dirt. She went down and got it, got herself a little golf swing line drive into center field.
Now coming in is the first baseman, Emily Moran. She'll come up with a runner at first, and nobody out, one run in already for the Cougars. After a base hit, infield single, a stolen base, a sacrifice bunt, and a sacrifice fly. And then the base hit by Abzun. Next pitch to Moran is downstairs with another fastball, two balls, no strikes.
Emily Moran, yet another 300-plus hitter for this Cougars team. Hitting 304 on the year. She's got a home run and 16 RBIs to go with it.
Waltman needing a strike. The 2-0 pitch misses downstairs again. Keeps walking down that flight of stairs, and not once has it been called a strike. Three balls, no strikes. So now Waltman trying to work her way back to keep another runner from going into scoring position. She misses up with a rise ball. And that is a four-pitch walk from Waltman to Moran, moving Abzun into scoring position for Becca Jewitt, who's playing as the designated player in game number two. Waltman gets ready. The first pitch to Jewitt, ground ball, foul down the third baseline for strike number one.
Everyone at Penguin Field holding their breath on that foul ball. Looked like it was fouled by maybe a foot or two. But early on here, Penguins already falling behind. We saw what happened last game. As soon as they fell behind, feels like, to me, the whole rest of the team started playing a little bit less inspired.
Oh, one pitch, ground ball up the middle, past the dive of Christensen and off of Schumacher's glove and deep into center field. It rolls almost all the way to the wall. Two more runs are going to score on a base hit and an E8. And that's how it becomes 3-0 in the blink of an eye.
Well, Ethan, I did it again. Another jinx here from Penguin Radio. Start suggesting that bad things might happen to the Penguins, and they do. Don't see a lot of errors from Mackenzie Schumacher out in center. Normally an A-plus quality center fielder, but you know, every now and then something gets away from you. Penguins pay a big price there.
And that ball did not look easy to field. That ball had eyes. It got past the dive of Maddie Christensen at second base. And right when it got to Mackenzie Schumacher, when she went down the field, it took a bad hop right over her glove. And it rolled well into center field for two runs to score. The first pitch to Amanda Woods is a fastball that misses high.
Wouldn't be the first time we've seen bad hops here at Penguin Field. Seen a few in the first game. Just have to hope to catch the ball at the apex of its bounce.
Line drive into center field. Schumacher going back, and she makes another over-the-shoulder catch, her second in as many games, saving another run. But at the end of a half an inning, the Cougars have already struck. The score is APU 3, Penguins nothing. We'll be back with the bottom half of the first inning. Welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, and we are here at Penguin Field for the bottom of the first inning. APU able to scratch across three runs in the top half to make this one a 3-0 game. Before the Penguins even have a chance to try the offensive ordeal, as Maddie Christensen will now dig in against, guess who, Raquel Espinoza, making her second start today. Misses up and out with a rise ball for ball number one to the leadoff hitter, Maddie Christensen.
Well, I don't know what the pitch count was on that first game. Maybe our statistician, Forrest Hunt, can pull that one up for us, but looking strong already. That first pitch had good velocity on it.
The 1-0 pitch from Espinoza to Christensen misses outside. Two balls and no strikes. And just by looking at Espinoza going out there, Forrest Dunn had to do some arm exercises. Watching her having to go out there and pitch another one after pitching seven shutout innings her last time out, which was not even a half an hour ago. The 2-0 pitch to Christensen misses up. Three balls and no strikes. Maybe a little shaken, not stirred. The 3-0 pitch from Espinoza to Christensen is called a strike over the inside corner with a fastball. 3-1.
And that was close, Ethan. A few of the other pitches that were all three called for balls to start the at-bat were close as well. Maybe the umpire giving Espinoza a little slack there.
3-1 pitch, popped it up. Right there is the shortstop, Broussard. She calls off her charging in third baseman for out number one.
And how many times this afternoon have we seen Espinoza get weak contact off the bottom end of the bat? Seems like she's jammed hitter after hitter, getting weak pop-up, weak line drive after weak line drive. Just great way to pitch to contact for Espinoza. 92 pitches for Espinoza in that first game were just... Now getting that stat.
Schumacher, little chomper. Broussard hurries the throw, and she's out. Even she looks like she stepped on the foot of the first baseman, Emily Moran, but a fantastic throw by Kayla Broussard at short. She's made a couple of errors, but all due to the bad hops we get here at Penguin Field, and if it wasn't for that, she is putting on a fantastic show over at short.
Hopefully Moran's okay over there at first base, lacing her right shoe up once again. You never want to step on the back of end of someone's foot, but Moran's foot was right on top of the bag. So not a lot of real estate for Schumacher to throw her foot onto. But Moran's okay. She'll carry on, and hopefully the Penguins can get something started here. It's been quite a long time since we've seen him even really come close to scoring.
The first pitch to Alyssa Ramirez from Espinoza is a ball in the dirt for ball number one. Last time the Penguins put on a threat was having a runner at go to second base in the sixth inning of game one. The 1-0 pitch to Ramirez is outside with a spinning fastball. A lot of movement on that one. Spun out of the zone. Two balls, no strikes.
You'd have to wonder, too, Ethan. Something wrong with Kat Ung. We kind of expected her to pitch the second game.
2-0 pitch misses up. Three balls and no strikes.
And as Espinoza continues to struggle to find the strike zone, where's Kat Ung? She threw a one-hitter last time she was at Penguin Field.
The 3-0 pitch from Espinoza to Ramirez is called a strike as that one spins back into the zone. So Espinoza now on the board in terms of ball and strikes. And it's not like Espinoza's pitched poorly. It's just her pitch count has gone up there a bit. 92 pitches in game one. She's already got two up, two down here. See what she does against Ramirez as she dots another fastball over the inside corner for strike two. So she's right back in it, making the count full. Could be one of those situations where trying to conserve some innings for your ace.
Have a feeling if they wanted to use Espinoza at all, better to bring her in at the beginning rather than the end so her arm doesn't go cold and then she has to warm up again.
And the pitch is swung on and a fly ball into right. And that's how the inning will come to an end. Raquel Espinoza, even 92 pitches in game one, is able to get three up, three down. So eight shutout innings from Espinoza so far today. Seven in game one and so far one here in game two. As you're listening to NC2A D2 Softball Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. APU leads this one 3-0.
Hello, 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 Penguin Radio. Thank you for tuning in here on this beautiful sunny day here at Penguin Field. Dominican taking on the APU Cougars. Fell in the first game 3-0. And, well, here early on, top of the second, the score is 3-0 APU. hopefully the Penguins can turn the tides. But early on, APU's hitting really doesn't seem like it's letting up. Daniela Toski, the first batter, she swings at the first pitch and lifts a high fly ball out into right field, but comfortably under it is Mott, and she grabs it for the first out of the inning. So one pitch, one out for Alyssa Waltman.
And Waltman needed that, and it's not like she had a poor inning pitching in the first inning. She just hit a little bit of bad luck. And when you hit bad luck, the only way to get rid of that is a little bit of good luck, and a one pitch out is just that.
Jenna Gorman, the nine hitter, up now for APU. She hits a ground ball to short. That's up and hits off the chest of Ramirez. Should be an E6. And that's how the second pitch of the top of the second is dealt with by the APU offense. Ground ball to short. So now runner on first with one out. And now the top of the lineup coming up for APU. Kayla Brassard steps in, sporting a 400-plus average. First pitch to her just misses outside. Brassard shows bunt, but pulls the head of the bat back in time to take ball one. One ball, no strikes, one out, 3-0 APU, and a runner on first here in the top of the second. Brassard shows bunt again, and the result is similar to the previous pitch. Ball a little lower down in the dirt for ball two. So Waltman gives up three in the top of the first and starts running into a little trouble here in the top of the second. The 2-0 to Brassard catches the outside corner for the first strike of the at-bat. 2-1, the count to Kayla Brassard, who is really the heart of this APU offense. Next pitch catches the outside corner in the exact same location. Brassard showing bunt again and then pulling it back. So two balls, two strikes the count now.
And Waltman, we talked about her bad luck, gave up one earned run in the top of the first, two of them unearned.
Now ground ball to short. Ramirez charging in, but not even close. She doesn't even throw to first. Kayla Brassard beats it out, so that'll be an infield single. Runners on first and second now. Still one out, top of the second, 3-0 APU.
And that's where the speed of Brassard comes into play. Two at-bats, two infield singles. If that's not an indicator of speed, I don't know what is.
Brassard just lightning fast, Mackenzie Schumacher level fast, if I dare say that much. And now ground ball to first base by Fryhoe. Collected by Cheek, who goes to the bag, steps on first base for the second out of the inning, but runners move up to second and third.
And that right there was a smart play to do by Cheek. They just take the for sure out, make it two outs, give your pitcher into much more of a favorable situation because there was no way she was going to get Brassard at second base with her speed. And by the time she threw it all the way across the diamond to third, Gorman would have been there safely.
Now Danny Burghart in the left-handed batter's box for APU. She takes the first pitch outside for ball one. Third baseman hitting .377 on the season. You have the open spot at first. So if you hadn't watched the earlier games, you might think, why don't they just walk her? But Melanie Abzun in the on-deck circle. We know what kind of power she possesses.
And Abzun in her last two at-bats, counting the first game and her first at-bat today, 2-for-2.
2-0 pitch to Burghart, lined into center field. Two runs are going to score. Throw home from Schumacher, cut off right at the pitcher's circle, and there are two more runs on the board for APU. 5-0 here in the top of the second inning. Clutch hitting by Danny Burghart to bring two more runs across.
Nice piece of hitting. Waltman threw her fastball a little bit up in the zone, but she took it right back where it came from. Hit a solid line drive into center field, low enough to where Schumacher couldn't catch it, and also had enough hang time to where it got out of the infield.
First pitch to the home run hitter, Melanie Abzun, a little high and inside. She backs off the plate and takes ball one.
But that's exactly where you need to pitch Abzun. You need to pitch her inside. You can't let her get full extension with her arms.
Next pitch, low and inside, but off the plate as well. Two balls, no strikes to Abzun. I mentioned she's a home run threat. She's got 6 home runs on the season to go with 33 RBIs. .306 average as well. And she'll take low again, three balls, no strikes. Now, Ethan, if you're the head coach of APU, do you maybe give Abzun the green light here?
No, I think I wait till 3-1 because you're most likely to get another good fastball in there. Right here on the 3-0 count will probably be whatever Waltman feels good throwing, which is most likely a fastball.
Pitch to Abzun, a fastball right down Main Street, and Abzun takes, so 3-1. Still two outs. 5-0 Cougars, top of the second, runner on first.
And this is a green light situation for Abzun. If she likes another fastball, she's going to swing at it.
Abzun gets a pitch way down in the zone. Probably would have been ball four, but she swings at it anyways and grounds out to short. Ramirez trots over to second base, steps on the bag for the final out of the inning. So after an inning and a half, it's APU 5, Dominican nothing. And the Penguins still looking for some offense. See you right here in a few minutes on radio.dominican.edu. Hello, 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 Penguin fans from every corner of the globe. Penguins standing on every iceberg where Penguins might be hanging out. Thanks for tuning in. Unfortunately, I have to report that the Penguins are losing 5-0 here, bottom of the second inning. Dalen Dennis coming up for the Penguins. They'll have the 4, 5, and 6 hitters here in the bottom of the second. Got some kind of stoppage in play. Waiting for the umpires to be ready or something. Not exactly sure what's going on, but looks like home plate umpire Paul Heathcote's got, oh, maybe he doesn't. He's going over to talk to Spencer, get some lineup things sorted out. But Dalen Dennis is taking a few extra swings, so hopefully she's ready for this upcoming at bat. Around the league, the A's lost to the Rangers today 8-7 after leading 7-2. The Giants played the Rockies. Herman Marquez had a no-hitter for much of that game. Giants ended up falling 4-0 to the Rockies. So there's your Bay Area baseball update. And now we're ready for softball here at Penguin Field. Dalen Dennis, ground ball to short, smothered by Brassard, but she can't pick the ball up in time to sling it on to first to try to get Dennis. So Dalen Dennis is aboard after hitting a grounder to short to start this inning. Ethan, are you giving that one an error or a hit?
That's an E6. Looked like it hit inside Brassard's glove and then popped out and rolled into the dirt. So you have to give her an error, but that's one of those where it's a tough error to give because, you know, if you were in that same situation, you would not have made the play.
This is true. Peyton Mott, the batter now. Ball down in the dirt, skips over the catcher, Jenna Gorman. Goes all the way to the backstop, and Dalen Dennis trots into second base. So two pitches into the bottom of the second inning, the Penguins have a runner in scoring position.
And Mott is the perfect person who you want up for the Penguins. She's been swinging a good bat in these situations.
Peyton Mott, the freshman, hits a line drive into left field. That's a base hit. Dalen Dennis can't score, but Peyton Mott puts a good swing on the second pitch of the at-bat, lines it into left field. And the Penguins have runners on the corners with nobody out.
And that right there is the first hit for the Penguins in the game. Now Chinchilla will come up. Interesting to see what Juliano Santos will do. You have to imagine Mott's taking off the second base in a first and third split, nobody out. I think that's a given at this point.
So as you mentioned, Ethan, the batter now, Alexis Chinchilla. Chinchilla, a .238 hitter on the season. She's got no home runs but 8 RBIs. First pitch to the Penguins catcher, low and inside for a ball. We're starting to see a few cracks from Raquel Espinoza. She never got in a situation even close to this last game. Ran into a little trouble in the bottom of the first, but managed to get out of it as Chinchilla takes ball two in a similar location to the first pitch.
Most of the trouble that Espinoza got into in that game one came with two outs, so it was easier for her to navigate through those situations here. Nobody out.
The 2-0 to Chinchilla. Lofted. Looks like this one, oh, I was going to say, looks like it was going to get over the head of Brassard, but Brassard quickly backpedaling, makes the grab. So Chinchilla with a half line out, half pop out. Not exactly sure what to call that one, but regardless, it ends up on the fly in the glove of Brassard. No runners advance, so first and third, one out, and now Caritza Reyes steps to the plate. First pitch to Kiwi. Lined right through the third base coach's box and into foul territory.
And that's right there where Espinosa's made her money today, is getting the pop-up. She's done a fantastic job pitching to get that kind of weak contact, especially she's had success against hitters like Daylon Dennis and Haley Cheek, who utilize that full extension, getting them a little bit in on the hands with that rise ball. That's exactly what she did right there to Chinchilla.
Ground ball to third base. And Reyes, no throw to first. The third baseman, Burghardt, tried to dive back and tag Daylon Dennis as she dove back to the bag. Couldn't get her, and now the Penguins have the bases loaded.
Yeah, great job right there by Daylon Dennis. I don't think she wanted to try to fake out Burghardt at third base, but that's kind of how it ended up. Reyes was going to make it to first base with that bobble no matter what. Good job by Dennis of being aware and getting back to first base. This is a favorable matchup for Espinosa, though, with how long Cheek's swing is.
First pitch to the batter, Haley Cheek. She's the nine hitter, or the eight hitter, should I say. Too far inside, ball one.
And that's what Cheek needs to lay off. She needs to lay off on that rise ball inside. If she does that, she'll win the at-bat.
Second pitch, similar location, but a little higher this time, and it's also in the strike zone. So now a ball and a strike with one out, bases loaded. I'd say it's pretty safe to say this is the Penguins' best scoring opportunity of both games.
Yeah, bases loaded, one out, like I was saying earlier. Espinosa, when she would get into traffic jams in the game one, she was usually with two outs, and now with one out, the Penguins with a great opportunity. But if that inside rise ball is going to be called a strike on players like Chinchilla, Cheek, and Dennis, who have longer swings, it's going to be a long game.
The 1-1 to Cheek. Down in the dirt, gets away from the catcher, but Dennis takes about three steps towards home and decides she's not going to run. Count moves to 2-1 on Cheek. Cheek, a 194 hitter on the year, no home runs, 8 RBIs. Penguins looking for something, anything to get the offense started. 2-1 pitch to Cheek. That's high and inside. Ball three. Well, if you can't get on base and score runs by hitting the ball, walks work too.
Yeah, and right here I give Cheek the red light. I don't think she has to swing in this situation. 3-1, bases loaded. She has to make a perfect pitch.
The 3-1 to Cheek. Line drive down the left field line. That's a fair ball. One run will come across to score, but Mott can't get in from second. But the Penguins score their first run of the entire afternoon. 5-1, the Cougars lead.
And that right there, Espinosa tried to get Cheek inside with that same rise ball, but this time left it a little bit lower. Great job by Cheek of tucking in her hands and able to pulling it right down the line.
Good job by Melanie Abzun out in left field as well. She ran straight in and cut that ball off. It wasn't hit with too much velocity, but still could have been much more trouble than Abzun ended up making it.
And now here comes Kadung.
And as we were speculating at the beginning of this game, Kadung now entering the game for the Cougars. She threw a one-hitter last time she was here at Penguin Field. But the Cougars get the max out of Raquel Espinosa, to say the very least. She ends up going 8 1/3 innings over the two games that she's pitched in. Now, a pitcher that we fear equally as much coming in to try to get the Cougars out of this bases-loaded jam.
And Kadung's not just straightforward power lefty, even though she can throw it up there with the best of them with her fastball velocity. But not only can she throw it hard with the fastball, but she has kind of like this cut fastball that starts on the outside corner and tails way inside. Has a ton of movement. You're not going to see anything that goes straight out of Kadung's hand, because even her straight fastball has a little dip to it. She has her the rise ball, the cutter, and the fastball, and all three of them move completely different.
Now APU convenes right at the pitcher's circle, talking strategy, and now home plate umpire Paul Heathcote going out to the mound to break it up. We're ready for base, or should I say softball, once again here at Penguin Field. 5-1, Cougars leading the Penguins. Bottom of the second, bases loaded, and just one out. The nine-hitter Alyssa Waltman in the batter's box. pitch, first pitch from Ung. Too low, ball one.
This is a tough situation for Ung to get into. If you're a pitcher, you want to come into a clean situation. Or if you get into a mess, at least it's your mess, and you have feel like there's a responsibility to get out of it. But right now, Ung's just trying to hold.
Now ball two, low and outside. Not close from Kat Ung. Waltman jumps ahead 2-0. Waltman, a 139 hitter on the season. She's got a home run with two RBIs. Boy, another home run would not be so bad here. But now 3-0. Ung can't find the strike zone upon coming into the game. Pretty surprising, seeing as we know what a quality pitcher she is.
I'm surprised she hasn't gone with that cut fastball yet. There it is.
Next pitch from Ung. Cut fastball right down Main Street.
That started on the outer half of the plate and cut back right down the heart. That right there has some nasty movement. You think it's coming at you straight, and all of a sudden it cuts right into your hands.
3-1 to Waltman from Ung. That's just on the outside corner. About a 50-50 chance that was a ball or a strike, but home plate umpire Paul Heathcote calls it a strike, so we got a full count with the bases loaded and one out. Penguins down by four, 5-1 here in the bottom of the second. Full count pitch to Waltman, a very much an off-speed pitch. Looked like a changeup, like a halfway between a changeup and an ephus.
That right there was a great job by Waltman. Waiting on the pitch, just didn't wait long enough. Got a little too eager and fouled it down that first base line.
Another full count offering from Kat Ung. Ground ball to short from Waltman. Flip on to third by the shortstop, Broussard, and that'll be the second out of the inning, but a run comes across. Peyton Mott scores from third base, so the Penguins get their second run of the afternoon. Cougars 5, Penguins 2. Now runners on first and second, two outs. And in steps the leadoff hitter, Maddie Christensen. Christensen, really the leader in pretty much every offensive category for the Penguins. Ball goes straight to the backstop from Ung. And the runners move up to second and third. So a wild pitch there from Kat Ung. There's the first ball of the at-bat. One ball, no strikes. Christensen, a 337 hitter with three home runs and 20 RBIs on the year. 1-0 from Ung. Low outside, 2-0. And Christensen, not a hitter you want to fall behind on. You could get away with stuff like this against lesser hitters like Alyssa Waltman, but Maddie Christensen will slam one. Christensen ground ball towards third base, just barely foul. Almost actually hit Haley Cheek. But Cheek manages to avoid the ground ball from Christensen. And count moves to 2-1. Two outs, 5-2 APU, bottom of the second. APU won the first game of this doubleheader, 3-0. Next pitch from Ung. Misses outside again, so 3-1. You'd have to think that Maddie Christensen's going to get a pitch to drive here.
Yeah, and right here I'm looking for that cut fastball that starts on the outer half, comes back inside from Ung. That seems to be the one pitch working for her 100%.
3-1 from Ung. A big bending curveball, and it misses high. So bases loaded again for the Penguins, and now the Penguins' most legendary hitter, in my mind, Mackenzie Schumacher. Schumacher with her very Ichiro-like approach. Holds out her bat, fakes the bunt, pulls it back, and the first pitch is low and inside for a ball. So one ball, no strikes on Mackenzie Schumacher, who finally managed to pull her average over 300. She's hitting 313 coming into this game. Next pitch to Schumacher. Fly ball just over the Penguins' bullpen. Out of play for strike one. Penguins will be back here on Tuesday, taking on Biola for a doubleheader. And then another doubleheader against Biola on Wednesday. Next pitch just outside. Kat Ung unable to locate the strike zone early on in this pitching performance. Two balls, one strike to Mackenzie Schumacher. 2-1 delivery from Ung, a little soft line drive into right field. That'll fall Cheat comes across to score. Here comes Waltman. She'll score as well. The Penguins are within one. What do you know, folks? The Penguins put up a four spot in the bottom of the second after APU got three in the first and two in the second. It's 5-4. Kat Ung not having the performance we were expecting, or at least Ethan and I were expecting. And the Penguins' offense getting something going.
Yeah, right. Ung coming into a tough situation. That's the problem when you're a pitcher coming out of the bullpen, coming into a tough situation. If you're one of those bullpen pieces that takes a little bit longer to warm up, like Ung's used to starting games, so she has a pregame routine. She comes into this game in a tough situation without her best stuff, and all of a sudden there's four runs up on the board. Not the best piece of hitting by Schumacher, but just got just enough to find an empty space.
Alyssa Ramirez, the batter now. Throw to the pitcher. Mackenzie Schumacher took off on that pitch and gets into second easily. Catcher Gorman faked the throw to second, but just threw a hard liner right to Ung. And the count 0-1. Next pitch just outside from Ung. One ball, one strike the count now. So runners on second and third, two outs. Alyssa Ramirez the hitter, and the Penguins with a real opportunity to take the lead. Ramirez awaits the 1-1. Here it is. Ground ball over to third. Missed by the third baseman, but picked up by Brassard. Throw on to first, down in the dirt, and it can't be picked by Moran. Run comes across to score, and what do you know? The Penguins have tied this game. It is 5-5. What's going on here?
It's called a foul ball
after all. Maybe that ball hit off of Alyssa Ramirez's foot on its way over to third.
Oh, dang it, I already put it in my scorebook. You know how annoying that is?
Either hit it off her foot or hit it off home plate. I have to imagine it was a little more likely hit off her front left foot. Next pitch to Ramirez. Ground ball right up the middle, and two runs will come across to score. What do you know, folks? The Penguins don't tie the game. They take the lead. It's 6-5 here at Penguin Field, bottom of the second. And the fans are into it for the first time all afternoon.
So after getting shut out in game one by Raquel Espinoza, Kat Ung, the pitcher, who all of us fear her name, comes in, and the Penguins able to drop a four spot on her stat line.
Well, Ethan, I know anything about Penguin Radio. I know things like this could only happen when I'm on play-by-play. The curse coming through again.
This time in our favor.
Next batter. Daylen Dennis hits a chopper down to third, and in one pitch, she makes the third out of the inning. So the Penguins plate six in the bottom of the second, and now lead 6-5 over APU. We're going to the top half of the third inning here on radio.dominican.edu. See you in a few minutes.
Welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. The first pitch from Lauren Percy, fresh into the game, is a pop-up from Emily Moran, and right there is Alyssa Waltman to put it away for out number one. As it looks like Percy will check in to Daylen Dennis's spot, so we got a double switch for the Penguins.
And I like this move. Lauren Percy's really been the most reliable pitcher the Penguins have had this season, so take the lead, bring in the good pitcher.
First pitch to Becca Jewitt, misses inside with a rise ball. One ball and no strikes.
Jewitt, a 307 hitter on the season. As I was mentioning earlier, just so many 300-plus hitters on this team.
Percy misses way outside, way upstairs with the rise ball. It goes back to the backstop, but harmless with nobody on base. Two balls, no strikes. Well, I guess harmless unless you call a ball damage. The 2-0 pitch misses way down and in.
And as I mentioned about the 300 averages, Ethan, Brassard, Abzun, Jewett, Burghart, Moran, and Toski all hitting above 300.
The 3-0 pitch to Jewett is a fastball that misses down and in, apparently, for ball four.
And not only that, but Amanda Woods is hitting 298, so if you want to round that up to 300, they actually have seven 300 hitters on this team.
Amanda Woods, the second baseman, will dig in, just like you said, batting 298 now as a runner at first. With one out, last time up, she flew out. to left field. And that ball is hit Mackin out of play for strike one. Well, what carried Azusa Pacific in the first game and for the first inning was their defense. In that bottom of the second inning, their defense just unraveled on them. Next pitch to Woods, misses down and in with a changeup. One ball, one strike. As look at, we got a little tornado shifting over there in the far corner.
It's felt like we've had a tornado under this tarp the whole game.
The 1-1 pitch from Percy to Woods, swing and a ground ball, foul. Just foul, but even if it was fair, would have been a base hit. So lucky for the Penguins that took the Baltimore chop foul.
The Baltimore chop? I don't think I'm familiar with that one. Can you explain that figure of speech to us, Ethan?
That figure of speech after this pitch, 1-2 pitch from Percy DeWitt, misses way outside. Two balls, two strikes. Came from, I believe, the 1960s Orioles teams, which they were filled with a whole bunch of speedy runners, didn't have a lot of power hitters. So what they'd do is they'd make the dirt really, really hard so they'd be able to chop it off the dirt and a runner would be able to beat it out. So therefore, the Baltimore chop. Ground ball, nice play by Ramirez, but it's called a foul ball by home plate umpire Heathcote. If it wasn't for that, that would have been a gold glove play by Alyssa Ramirez. Oh boy, Troy Aikman starting to come out.
Well, that was a little Baltimore chop for you, Ethan. Ramirez doing a great job of handling it though. Too bad it got called foul.
The 2-2 pitch to Amanda Woods from Percy is a changeup, popped up right there. Maddie Christensen, she'll put it away for out number two.
Just as she hit that pop-up, really just a monsoon wind comes in from center field. And we saw it earlier with that diving catch Reyes made over in left field. The ball gets too high in the air. The wind could just do anything with it.
But now here comes Daniela Toski. In game one, she hit possibly the furthest home run we've seen at Penguin Field this season over everything. And I mean everything, and there's a line drive. Right, left center field, and Schumacher with a bad angle can't get it. Coming around to score is Becca Jewitt, and an RBI double from Daniela Toski makes us all tied up at six.
Just when the Penguins take the lead, it's not taken right back completely from them, but now we're pretty much immediately tied again. This APU team is tough, Ethan.
Jenna Gorman will now step in. Last time out, reached on an error by the shortstop at the time, Alyssa Ramirez. Percy now trying to keep this game tied. The first pitch to Gorman is a fastball over the outside, called a strike. As the wind feel like it might take our tent and the bleachers with them. The 0-1 pitch from Percy to Gorman, popped it up. Way up there, Waltman underneath it to put it away, and that will end the inning, but not until Daniela Toski strikes again. Not with a homer, but a one-run double. So at the end of 2.5, the score is APU 6, Dominican 6. We have a fun one. Welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Ethan Estrada, Soren O'Connell, this time not sunbathing as the clouds are starting to move in a bit here at Penguin Field as the Penguins will now try to reclaim the lead. It'll be Mott, Chinchilla, and Reyes in order. Last time up, Peyton Mott singled. Hopefully she could do the same as Kat Ung misses upstairs with the Rhines ball for ball one, and that's been the betrayer for Kat Ung, has been the lack of control with that Rhines ball.
Yeah, it feels like a hurricane's coming over Sanderfell here, Ethan.
The 1-0 pitch, called a strike.
Sun's officially blocked out by a thin film of clouds, but a film nonetheless.
So Hong now in a much more favorable count. One ball, one strike. Gets ready to deliver to Mott, and she pitches that beautiful curveball over the inside corner. One ball, two strikes. That's been the pitch that has been working for her, has been that breaking ball. The 1-2 pitch to Mott goes back to the rise ball and misses upstairs. Two balls, two strikes. Kind of expect a rise ball to miss up high, since it's in the name.
This is true. I like that, Ethan. We're making good connections here.
The 2-2 pitch is lined, but right at Becca Jewitt, and there's the good old Adam ball for Kat Ung. And now I figured that one out. You know why it's called an Adam ball? Because it's right at him.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know why it took me so long to figure that one out.
We got, what was it, the Baltimore chop and the Adam ball? No, this is, we're really just moving the field of broadcasting forward.
That's a ball outside of Chinchilla with that fastball from Ong. All of this, basic baseball lingo. We're introducing it to softball. Not much different.
We debunked the meaning behind hit it on the screws the other day, too, if you guys listened into that broadcast.
The 1-0 pitch. Chinchilla finds a way to get the ball to get into left right field. So a base hit for Chinchilla, not the prettiest of hits, but I think she'll take it.
Yeah, that was a strange one. Kind of looked like a check swing from Chinchilla, but whatever works. It's a tie ball game here early in the game of a high-scoring affair, so you're going to need all the runs you can get.
Kaylee Bolin will come into pinch run. She'll move over to first base with Caritza Reyes coming up to bat. And a 6-6 tie here in the bottom of the third. As the wind continues to blow, and it's not a warm one.
Caritza Kiwi Reyes, 240 hitter on the season.
First pitch, swing and a foul back. As Ung was able to get that curveball underneath the hands of Reyes, and all she was able to do was foul it off.
Reyes also has a home run, as you were mentioning earlier, to go with five RBIs.
That home run came against Azusa Pacific. It came against Raquel Espinoza. The 0-1 pitch, beautiful cutter. Comes back across the outside black. No balls and two strikes. Ung gets ready to deliver the 0-2 upstairs with the rise ball. So runner at first and one out for the Penguins. All tied up at six against the APU Cougars. The 1-2 pitch to Reyes, popped him up, foul ground, and it'll land harmlessly. Cal Romaine, one ball, two strikes.
Seems to me like Ung's rise balls are going up the same kind of way Raquel Espinoza's cutters were going in. Seems like she's got hitters chasing up high. Espinoza got a lot of weak contact on the low end of the bat.
1-2 pitch, curveball, ground ball to short. Broussard got it, throw to first. Can't be dug out by Moran, and she's safe. So another error by the APU defense. Azusa's defense in game one, to put it nicely, they were nails. They were shut down. And then here in game two, not so much.
Well, I'm not really sure who to blame in that situation because Broussard's throw could have been better, but also that's two missed picks by Moran at first now.
Cheek with a soft ground ball. She thought about going to third, but nobody was there. But a foul ball is called by our first base umpire, called it off of the foot. That is our first base umpire, Frank Bispo. Kat Ung gets ready to deliver the 0-1 pitch to Cheek. She misses well inside, one ball and one strike.
Cheek's come up in a few big spots already. Came up with the bases loaded in the second.
And Ung misses up and away with another rise ball. Two balls and one strike. It's in now the way Kat Ung is pitching. You give her a little bit of a break coming into the second and a bases loaded jam, but here with her own inning, you just lay off that rise ball. She hasn't really been able to throw it effectively. She misses outside with that fastball, three balls and one strike. At this point, you start eliminating pitches when you're up to bat because the rise ball hasn't been working. The curveball has been spectacular, and that fastball has been kind of hit or miss. The 3-1 pitch, Foul ball. 3 balls, 2 strikes. Count them full.
And the way that Ung's pitching and the way that APU's utilized her makes me think that she probably threw a lot of innings in the 4-game set the APU played against Holy Names just a few days ago. Surprised to not see her starting now. Seems like she might be fatigued.
3-2 pitch popped up right on top of the APU dugout down the first baseline. Count remains 3 balls and 2 strikes. Cheek in a big situation, and this is where the Penguins have lacked all season, has been who can get the big hit with runners on. The 3-2 pitch to Cheek, a little ground ball down the third baseline, and another foul ball called.
Well, at least she's making Ung throw as many pitches as she can. Even if this bat ends up turning into an out, you can still say you worked Ung.
3-2 pitch, curveball, soft pop-up, infield fly roll in effect. Cheek is out, and now bring up Alyssa Waltman. So Waltman, who started the game in the circle, gave up 5 runs over 2 innings. Well, now try to help Lauren Percy in the circle to try to give her a W. The first pitch from Ung to Waltman. Swing and a miss. Good heater. Power on power with that swing. And Waltman in the hole to start the at-bat.
Pretty important here that Waltman gets on, as it's quite apparent this is a high offense kind of game.
The 0-1 pitch misses up and out from Ung.
And being the 9-hitter, she's got Christensen, Schumacher, and Ramirez coming up. So any way you can, Alyssa Waltman, please extend this inning.
The 1-1 pitch from Ung to Waltman. Swing and a miss. Great curveball. After throwing her 2 straight fastballs over the outside corner, she dropped Uncle Charlie off on the outside of the house.
I like that.
The 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. On the foul tip, Gorman able to hang on, and that's how the inning comes to an end. The Penguins threaten but can't break the tie. At the end of 3, the score is APU 6, Dominican 6. So you're listening to NCAA 2A D2 Women's Softball on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Hello, hello, hello. Penguins from every corner of the globe, every iceberg floating out in the ocean, both the North and the South Pole stuffed full of Penguins, tuning in to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I thank you for tuning in. All knotted up at 6 here in the top of the 4th inning. Top of the lineup coming up for the visiting team, APU. Caleb Broussard to lead it off. First pitch to Kayla. Catches the outside corner. Lauren Percy came in last inning. Gave up a single run. That was the top of the 3rd. And now she continues here in the top of the 4th. Broussard, a 403 hitter. She takes low and outside for a ball. We go even, 1 ball, 1 strike. She can also steal bases. Got an on-base percentage, almost 500. OBP 470 at the moment. 1-1 pitch outside as well, and the count moves to 2-1. Persia, really the most reliable pitcher Penguins have had this season. Her ERA is 4.74. 43 walks, 26 strikeouts, and 75.1 innings of work. Now ground ball to short by Broussard. Charging in was Waltman, but not even close. Kayla Broussard was already running down the right field line, slowing down by the time the ball was in Waltman's glove. Just lightning speed out there.
You want to hear the stat of the day, Soren?
I'd love to.
Broussard, 3 for 3. Not one of her base hits has left the infield.
Speed kills, folks. The Oakland Raiders know that. Caleb Broussard knows that. Have to expect she's going for second on one of these first few pitches.
Yeah, it's usually the second pitch that speedy runners decide to take off. They like to time the pitcher in the first one, and then once they get the timing down, they'll take off on the second or third. From the second on, they're pretty much a threat.
Brielle Fryhoe takes strike 1 over the outside corner. Now here's the second pitch and a line drive into center field. Broussard was off on the pitch, but the line drive not very deep in the outfield. Quickly collected by Schumacher. So Broussard can't take third, but APU's got first and second with nobody out. And now Danny Burghardt stepping up. She'll be followed by Melanie Abzun and then Emily Moran. Big inning seems to be setting up for APU. They're 25-14 overall, 16-8 in the Pac West. Dominican 7-22 overall, 4-15 in the Pac West.
Now the wind now blowing in on us, kind of blowing off to our side, blowing from about right field to left field. But then again, I'm under a tent, so it's swirling no matter what.
First pitch, high and inside to Danny Burghardt. That'll be ball one. Yeah, Ethan, when I came down to the ballpark today, it was really sunny. I didn't wear a jacket. Big mistake.
Yeah, last week was beautiful here in San Rafael. And all of a sudden, I decided, okay, for the first time in like a month, I'm not going to wear a sweater, and then it's freezing.
Next pitch to Burghardt. She offers with a bunt, pulls it back, but it's a strike anyway. One ball, one strike. Good pitch by Lauren Percy to make sure she found the zone.
Now, this is the first time in about 4 months that I haven't worn anything shorter than a long sleeve.
Had a look at those
pale arms
earlier. We're all comparing tans here at Penguin Radio, as we so often do. Next pitch from Percy. Bunt popped up right in front of the pitcher. Percy collects, throws on to first for the out, but the sacrifice is successful. Runners move up from first and second to second and third. And the most feared hitter in this APU lineup, Melanie Abzun, steps into the box. Abzun, 6 home runs, 33 RBIs on the season. One of those 6 home runs was here early on in the season. Hit an absolute bomb into the defunct bleachers over in right center. Percy's got to be careful here. First pitch to Abzun. Lined into center field. Oncoming is Schumacher, but she can't get it. One run will score. Schumacher throws to third, but no play. And the Cougars take the lead once again. 7-6, the score now. Melanie Abzun didn't try to do too much with that ball. Just sent it right back where it came from. Straight up the middle. And the Cougars take the lead back. They were up 5-0 in the top of the second. The Penguins put a 6 spot on them in the bottom of the second. Then the Cougars tied it with a run in the top of the third. And it was 6-6 until that swing by Melanie Abzun.
That hit by Abzun could be called a back at 'em ball.
First pitch to the next hitter, Emily Moran. Bunted right down the left field line, but goes into foul territory. No balls, one strike. Again, Cougars 7, Penguins 6, top 4. One out, runners at the corners. Next pitch to Moran is fouled straight back. 0-2 on Emily now.
This right here is a huge out for Percy if she wants to keep this a one-run game. Becca Jewitt, Amanda Woods, and Danielle Atosky, even though they're the 6-7-8 hitters, they have been dangerous.
0-2 to Moran, skied over into left field, playable for Reyes. She takes a step back, makes the grab, but runner on third tags up and scores. That is Brielle Fryho crossing the plate for the 8th run of the afternoon for the Cougars, so 8-6 now. Cougars double their lead on that sac fly. Now the umpires are convening to talk something over. I'm not sure what exactly it is that they're talking about. They're going to consult Juliana Santos. All of them getting together and not quite sure what they're talking about. Ethan, do you have any guesses?
No, they're telling her to go back. They're telling her to go back to third base.
They said she's
out. They're calling the hitter out.
Not sure what that's about. APU players look just as confused as we are here in the broadcast booth. And now they're
actually
going out to talk it over.
Might replay the pitch. Because Emily Moran getting all her gear back on to go through the at-bat. Might have an announcement coming.
Very strange here at Penguin Field. We've seen a lot of strange things here in the past, but I've never been equally mystified as I am now.
Oh, looks like actually the runner at first base, Melanie Abzun, might have left early on that one. So therefore, it is called a dead ball, and the play goes back.
What do you know, folks? So Abzun, despite the fact she didn't even move on that sack fly, or at least didn't move up a base on that sack fly, is called out for taking off early. So the score now back to 7-6 with two outs and a runner on third.
And that's annoying because I had my scorecard all filled out. That's the second time today. Second time today. So now I can't go back and change it. I don't have a whiteout.
So apparently the count was 0-1 when that sack fly happened and a foul ball by Moran. It's now 0-2. The 0-2 to Moran down in the dirt. Sweet scoop by Chinchilla. Takes a look down to third, and Fryho doesn't move.
On that play, Zuza might have had the hit and run going on. That's probably why Abzun left early.
Now the pitch to, pitch to Moran is lined into left field. Run comes across to score anyways. So Fryho touches home plate for the Cougars' official eighth run of the afternoon. Assuming the umps don't have anything else to talk about. 8-6 Cougars now, two outs, runner on first. And the Penguins coughing up more runs. The pitching just hasn't been able to get it done here today. Next batter is Becca Jewitt. She hits a foul ball on the first pitch for 0-1. Jewitt, a 307 hitter. She's got a home run and five RBIs on the season. The 0-1 to her, chopped over to third base. Ramirez jumps up, snags it, throws on to first, where Cheek closes her first baseman's glove right around the ball for the third out of the inning, but not before APU comes up with two runs to put up on the board. It's 8-6 Cougars. We're going to the bottom of the fourth. Hello, hello, hello. Penguins in every single place where Penguins might be. Whenever, however, and wherever you're tuning in, we thank you sincerely from Penguin Radio, the official radio home of the Penguins, radio.dominican.edu. Well, today we're down at Penguin Field for some softball action. Penguins lost the first game of this doubleheader to Azusa Pacific 3-0, and they trail 8-6 here in the bottom of the fourth. But the top of the lineup's coming up. First pitch from Kat Ung to Maddie Christensen's too high for the liking of home plate umpire Paul Heathcote. Ball one to Christensen. Christensen, the really nearly indisputable best hitter on the Penguins as she takes strike one. 337 batting average on the whole season. That's, let's just say, way higher than the next best, Schumacher. Schumacher hitting 313. Now she lines one straight back up the middle. A base hit for Maddie Christensen, and that's how the bottom of the fourth inning will begin for the Penguins. Runner on first, nobody out.
Oh, look at that. Forrest Hunt was all the way back at about the fence, and then Maddie Christensen gets a base hit. Now he's on his way back.
We told him to leave, actually. Told him, Forrest, you need to leave. Penguins are getting something good together. He doesn't leave. And now the Penguins are losing again as Schumacher fouls a bunt back. No balls, one strike on Schumacher. Penguins started the bottom half of the fourth with the top of the lineup. Christensen lined one right back up the middle for a base hit. Now Schumacher trying to keep the rally going. Tries another bunt, but that one's foul as well. So now 0-2 on the Penguins. Base stealer aficionado, as we've received reinforcements here at Penguin Radio, some jackets. Now line drive by Schumacher. Oh, what a play by the third baseman, Burkhart. She snags the line drive from Schumacher as it was about to get by her down the left field line. Throws on to first for the double play.
The good old Latham ball.
Now that'll add some numbers to your war. Well, two quick outs out of nowhere after that stab snag by Danny Burghardt, the freshman over at third base. Penguins go from runner on first, nobody out, to nobody on, two outs, just like that.
And that's the only way you're going to be able to double up Mackenzie Schumacher. If she hits it into the ground, there's no way you're going to be able to turn it for two to get her at first base. She has to line it into a tough situation.
Ramirez takes strike one and then fouls off a pitch that was cutting over the outside corner. So that's strike two. No balls, two strikes, two outs, nobody on. Alyssa Ramirez trying to get something going for the Penguins. Other than that bottom of the second inning, they really haven't had much to do on the base paths. The 0-2 from Ung down in the dirt, kicked away by Gorman. So 1-2 the count now. Ramirez started the season painfully slow, was hitting under 100 for much of the first part of the year, but since then she's managed to pull her batting average up to almost 200. And she strikes out looking. Kat Ung with a great cut fastball over the outside corner. Home plate umpire Heathcote rings up Alyssa Ramirez for the last out of the inning. Cougars 8, Penguins 6 here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Ethan Estrada and Soren O'Kundel. Where the heck am I going with all these names?
Get this guy out of here.
Soren O'Kundel, as we are finally bundled up here in our broadcast booth.
Feels good. Feels good, Ethan. This,
thanks to Stuart Horn for supplying some OG Pacifics and Dominican college swag, as the first pitch from Percy misses outside for ball one to Amanda Woods.
I see you got the Dominican college pullover over there. Yeah. Hopefully some nuns come by and notice how cool you are, Ethan.
The 1-0 pitch to Woods from Percy. One chopper to Waltman. Throw to first in plenty of time for out number one. A six to the covering three for out number one, and that'll bring up Daniela Toski, who has had a fantastic day, to say the least, for the Cougars.
Yeah, that home run she hit earlier, maybe not the farthest home run we've seen all season, but it was certainly close. But I can tell you for sure it was the highest home run. That was a major league height home run.
The first pitch from Percy to Toski misses up and out for ball number one, as she missed with that rise ball. Don't want to give Toski the chance to even make contact.
You'd have to think every pitch of this at bat's going to be low, probably mostly outside as well.
The 1-0 pitch, Toski pops it up. Left center field, Reyes is there to put it away for out number two.
Good job by Schumacher and Reyes to sort out who was going to catch that ball before it got to the ground. You could tell they were basically both equidistant to that fly ball.
As Jenna Gorman, the catcher for game number two, will step into the box for the Penguins, for Azusa. It is that time of day. The pitch fouled straight back on that rise ball. Strike one. Percy has come in, given up three runs over two innings. Waltman started it off, gave up five runs over two innings. Here in the fifth, well, I guess Percy has now pitched 2 2/3. One ball, one strike to Gorman as she misses upstairs once again.
Thought that pitch looked pretty good, but no call from Heathcote. But I like to see that Percy's just going straight after Gorman. She is the nine hitter. You want to get these 7, 8, 9 hitters in order.
1-1 pitch popped up. Christensen calling everybody off. She'll put it away for an easy 1-2-3 inning for Lauren Percy. So that's how the fifth inning starts off. We are headed to the bottom half. The score is Azusa 8, Dominican 6. Well, welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Ethan Estrada, Soren O'Kundel, I got it this time. The first pitch from Kat Ung to Daylen Dennis, who's back into the game. That one will miss high for ball number one. 8-6 the score. Ung's next pitch, beautifully placed fastball over the outside corner, evens up the count. At 1-1. Beautiful backdrop here at Penguin Field. Mount Tam in the distance. Next pitch from Kat Ung misses high with a looked like a cut fastball. 2-1.
Dennis tied for the team lead in home runs, but she's got the team lead in walks. 17 free passes on the season, as well as a hit by pitch.
Swings and sends one down the right field line, but it'll go foul. Evens up the count at 2-2. And when I mean the backdrop here at Penguin Field is beautiful, it's a beautiful place to play. You have a stream running through the back. You have the view of Mount Tam and the Kennelly Field scoreboard.
Ain't too hard to get used to this, Ethan.
The 2-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Great rise ball from Kat Ung to get Dennis to swing out of her shoes for the first out of the bottom of the fifth. And now that it's that time of day, the giant eucalyptus trees out beyond the right center field wall are depositing a lot of shade everywhere but in left field.
Talking about a backdrop this beautiful, Ethan, makes me want to try out for the team.
Next pitch is 1-1. Imagine being a hitter and that being your batter's eye. Fantastic place to play, but the problem is there is no batter's eye, so good luck tracking the ball. The 1-0 pitch from Tamada, a little floater down the left field line. Foul ball.
Sometimes you need a little bit of luck, something a little bit special to get a good rally going late in the game, and Mata almost had it right there, just barely foul.
Mott has had a good game. She's had a good freshman campaign. The 1-1 pitch is a fastball over the outside corner for 1-2. Her doubleheader performance against Humboldt was a fantastic performance from the freshman. Hit her first collegiate home run against the Jacks. Now she's trying to find a way to respond as she takes a ball over the outside corner.
You know, while it would be great if Ma could get a hit, she's up against one of the best pitchers in the entire conference, Kat Ung. 2.43 ERA, 11 complete games.
The 2-2 pitch rise ball that rises way up and in. 3-2. So a full count. You can go either way. The 3-2 pitch from Ung DeMott, swinging a chopper right back at Kat Ung. She'll throw it over to first, and that is it for Peyton Mott. Alexis Chinchilla will now step in to try to get something going. A 2-out rally here in the bottom of the fifth for the Penguins. For the Pangs.
Sco Pangs. Sco Pangs, Sco, as they say.
People do say that. I've never heard anybody say that. The next pitch from Mong to Chinchilla misses downstairs. 1-0. Do they say it at Pittsburgh Penguins games?
They actually say it at Dominican Penguins games.
They do?
Well.
Next pitch, ground ball to short. Broussard got it. Throw to first in plenty of time to retire Chinchilla and retire the side. I think we'll continue that conversation in the top of the sixth inning and try to find some hard evidence as you're listening to NC2A D2 Software on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Hello, hello, hello. Penguins from every corner of the globe, every alternate universe where Penguins might be tuning into my voice. Thank you for listening. You're listening in to Dominican softball here from Penguin Field. Cougars up on the Penguins, 8-6 at the moment.
You know,
getting
what?
Started here in the top of the sixth inning.
There could be an alternate dimension where Penguins are the apex predators of the world.
I think there probably is at least one.
There has to be.
And if that's the case, then they've probably discovered us by this time. So the odds of them listening to me are, you know, higher than you might think.
Yeah, alternate dimension Penguins.
Well, unfortunately, my alternate dimension friends, APU's got the top of the lineup coming up. Lauren Percy against Kayla Broussard. Percy fires in a fastball over the outside corner for strike one.
Broussard has been fantastic today for APU. Has had a couple of hiccups every now and then on defense, but for the most part, she's been one of the best players for the Cougars.
Got an OPS approaching 900 as well. She takes very high and very inside, runs out of the batter's box to avoid it. One ball, one strike. Broussard leads off the inning. She'll be followed by Brielle Fryhoe and Danny Burghart. Three lefties to go after Lauren Percy here in the top of the sixth inning, but there's a nice little cut and fastball by Lauren Percy over the outside half. One ball, two strikes, the count now. Kayla is the chant from the APU bench, and she flips a ball almost over the head of Waltman, but Waltman with the quick feet takes a step back and makes the grab. You could even say those were happy feet over
yeah,
there at
yeah.
shortstop.
Hey, there you go, a Penguin reference. I get it, Soren. I gotcha. And Waltman was actually lucky. She was playing inside, and she had to use her happy feet to get back and catch that ball.
Sweet play by the sophomore shortstop, Waltman. She started today's game but had to be taken out as a little floater by Fryhoe down the right field line gets over the head of Christensen and Cheek and drops to the grass for a base hit. So a little bit of luck factored in there for Brielle Fryhoe, but she'll take it. Runner on first for APU with one out, and now stepping in is Danny Burghart. Oh, you think Peyton Mott's a good freshman hitter. Danny Burghart, I think, has Mott beat by a little bit. She's hitting .377 on the year with a 1.084 OPS. No home runs, but 24 RBIs for the freshman. First pitch by Percy, low inside, ball one.
Sometimes great hitters aren't determined by how far they hit the ball. It's how hard you hit it in situations with runners on, and with 24 RBIs, she's proven she could do just that.
Takes a big cut through a low changeup by Percy. Count moves even. Well, the Penguins lost the first game of this doubleheader 3-0. Now trail 8-6 here in the top of the sixth. Scored all six runs in the bottom of the second inning. Delivery from Percy. Chopper over to second base. Christensen collects, throws on to first for the out, but Fryhoe moves up. So a sacrifice of sorts for Danny Burghart, and she's put a runner in scoring position for the dangerous Melanie Abzun.
Abzun on the day is 1-for-3 with the base hit, a run scored. Bouncing to a fielder's choice in her last time up, hit a line drive that Waltman was able to put away.
And I like that Abzun has Zoo in her name, because the zoo is actually the basketball stadium at Azusa Pacific University. Line drive right back up the middle from Abzun. On comes Schumacher. There's going to be a play at the plate. Here comes the throw home, but she's safe. Chinchilla can't corral the one-hop throw from Schumacher, and Abzun will move right up into second base. Cougars 9, Penguins 6. The score now is the dugout for the visiting team goes a little bit wild. Good feeling in the camp for the visiting side. And now they've got themselves a three-run lead. Abzun standing on second base, and now the hitter's Emily Moran. She climbs into the batter's box with a chance to stretch that lead a little bit more, get some insurance runs going into this late stage of the ball game. First pitch from Percy, outside, ball one.
Another back at him ball from Abzun. Hits it right back up the middle on a line drive just out of the reach of Percy's glove. Advances to second base on the throw from Schumacher, so great base running also by Abzun.
It's RBI number 34 for her on the season as a pop-up. Drifts over to the dugout, hits off the roof of the dugout for APU and falls harmlessly out of play.
So you're a guy who says roof, not roof?
Yeah, I'm more of a roof guy.
Yeah, I think all of us here at Penguin Radio are more of roof people.
Rough is what a dog does. Roof is the roof, you know? If I was protected from the rain by a rough, I don't think I would stay dry for very long. Foul ball again by Moran, and now the count moves to 1-2. Forrest loves my joke from a second ago. I'm glad we got this one on the podcast. The 1-2 from Percy. Changeup line right back up the middle. Almost identical to the Abzun base hit, but this time Abzun can't score. That ball was hit too hard. Schumacher came up firing, and Abzun sticks around at third base. So now runners on the corners with two outs. Cougars up 9-6. And in steps number 7, Becca Jewett. Is it Jewett or Jewett? I keep saying Jewett. Jewett. Okay. I keep bouncing from one to the other, and I'm glad we've now decided on one. First pitch to Jewett popped up.
Oh.
Forrest Hunt almost makes the grab.
Oh, no. He's going to be shunned for the rest of the game.
Really, I think that's the only chance we've had to catch a foul ball here at Bengun Radio all season long.
He had it. It's one of those moments where he would have said, if I had a glove, I would have caught it.
We'll be bringing our gloves to the game now. And a wild pitch by Percy. Here comes Abzun. She's to the plate, and she scores. That was just about as close as they come. Lauren Percy slapped the tag down, but Paul Heathcote says, this inning's going to keep on going. That's the 10th run for the Cougars in this game. They've got 2 runs here in the top of the 6th.
They've scored in every inning other than the 5th. And in the 5th, they went 3 up, 3 down in the bottom third of their order.
Well, the lead goes from 3 to 4. Now ground ball over to 3rd. Goes off the glove of Ramirez. Picked up by Waltman. Throw on to 1st. What a laser from Alyssa Waltman, and she gets the Penguins the 3rd out of the inning. A little luck involved on that deflection, but she'll take it.
On your routine 5-6-3 putout for the 3rd out of the inning.
Well, our official scorers are into it. We are too. Cougars 10, Penguins 6. We'll see you in a minute for the bottom of the 6th inning. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Penguin Field, where we're experiencing pre-hurricane symptoms in the weather.
We are finally bundled up, though, so at least that's a good sign.
Ethan and I are both wearing T-shirts until the beginning of the top of the 6th.
Just like I keep mentioning, I've always worn a sweater until now.
First pitch of the bottom of the 6th, the curveball by Kat Ung, and really just a masterful pitch right there. And Caritza Reyes, Caritza Kiwi Reyes.
She dropped Uncle Charlie back at home.
Takes strike 1. Penguins have 7, 8, 9 coming up. As Reyes pops one out in front of the plate. Jenna Gorman pops up and makes the catch, so a disappointing result for Kiwi there. She makes the first out of the inning. Penguins down 10-6. Bottom of the 6th, 1 out, nobody on. Haley Cheek, the batter now. Kat Ung got off to a rocky start, but has been lights out ever since. Came on in the bottom of the 2nd inning, inherited some runners, and just didn't quite look comfortable until the end of the bottom of the 3rd. She delivers ball 1 to Haley Cheek. Next pitch from Ung High, that's ball 2. So Cheek out in front, 2-0, trying to get something, anything started for the Penguins here. Other than the bottom of the 2nd of this 2nd game, the Penguins have not scored. Now, break and pitch finds the strike zone from Ung. That looked like a little slider of sorts. Hits the low inside part of the plate. Part of the strike zone, should I say. And now she goes outside with a fastball. That one misses, though, and Haley Cheek's got a good batter's count. 3 balls, 1 strike. 1 out, nobody on. 10-6 Cougars. Cheek, a 194 hitter on the season. No home runs, 8 RBIs, and she takes low, ball 4. So the Penguins get a runner on first. And now coming up is the woman who made the very just beautiful play in the hole to throw out the last out of that inning, of the last inning, top of the 6th, Alyssa Waltman. Waltman stands in. Christensen on deck, Schumacher in the hole. And the sophomore, Waltman, takes ball 1. Penguins trail by 4, so they'll need a little more than small ball to come close to tying this one up. But Waltman takes ball 2, so Penguins getting a few gifts outside the zone from Kat Ung so far in the bottom of the 6th. Ung kicks and deals. This one's a strike right down the heart of the plate. No offer from Waltman, though, and count moves to 2-1.
Right now, if you're the Penguins, you just need base runners. Try to make Ung work. Get into favorable hitters' counts.
Next pitch from Ung, a changeup that got away from her, and it plunks Waltman straight in the back. So the Penguins all of a sudden have runners on first and second with one out in the top of the lineup coming up. I don't know about you guys, but I smell a little bit of rally brewing in the next room.
If this wind would stop, any ball in the air might have a chance.
And if this wind would stop, I could smell the rally, but with all this wind, the scent of the rally is surely miles away by now. But I can see the rally. That's what counts. First and second, one out. Christensen steps up, and yet another ball misses away from the batter's box. Cat Ung is starting to lose control, and sure enough, the catcher, Jenna Gorman, goes out to talk to her.
Yeah, this is a good timeout right there by the catcher, Gorman. Try to refocus your pitcher. You still got one out. You're up by four. You got a couple of runs to work with. Just take the easy out, and if the Penguins manage to score a run, that's okay, as long as you get the three outs to send you to the seventh.
And you got a lot of good fielding infielders. Of course, we've seen a few errors here today, but by and large, it's been a very clean fielding performance from APU. Next pitch is lined right over the head of Ung, collected by the second baseman Woods. She applies the tag to Waltman, attempting to advance to second base, but there's no play at first. So the runners will now be standing at first and third with two outs. Cougars still leading 10-6. And now, Mackenzie Schumacher stepping into the box.
That right there was the perfect example of what I was talking about. Amanda Woods, the second baseman, just took it upon herself to tag Waltman, moving from first to second, get the easy out. Even if you might not be able to double up Christensen, there's still two outs, and you have a four-run lead.
First pitch among two Schumacher. Cut fastball that finds the low outside part of the strike zone for strike one. Schumacher in a big spot here. A hit would really help the Penguins out. Next pitch, similar to the one before, but it cuts a little too far outside for ball one. So one ball, one strike, two outs, runners at the corners. Cougars 10, Penguins 6. Cat Ung with the 1-1 delivery, and that one's right back up the middle. A base hit from Mackenzie Schumacher, and a run will come across to score. Haley Cheek touches home plate, 10-7 now. The tying run comes to the plate. Alyssa Ramirez still awaiting her first home run of the season. What better time to get it than now? Ramirez goes over to talk to Juliana Santos about what she's looking for in this at-bat. Santos giving her some quality advice, I'm sure. Ramirez gives her head coach a little high five and now trots over to the batter's box. She'll climb into the box with really the golden opportunity to get the Penguins' offense rolling. As I mentioned a second ago, Ramirez still looking for her first home run of the season. She lines one right back up the middle. This will score a run. Here comes number four, should I say, Christensen across to score. She scores, but then Schumacher tries to advance to third and gets thrown out. So a strange play. And the inning comes to an end. The Penguins get two runs in the bottom of the sixth. But that only cuts the lead in half. Cougars still leading 10-8 here on the radio, home of the Penguins. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We'll be back in just a moment with the first half of the seventh inning.
Welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. And we are here with the seventh inning, the final inning today. Well, hopefully the final inning today if the Penguins find a way to keep the Azusa Pacific Cougars right where they're at. And if they score two runs in the bottom half, then, well, we'll see a little bit more. But as it stands right now, Azusa has a 10-8 lead. Rosa Liguria will step in. She pitched in game one, pitched three innings, gave up three runs. As Amanda Woods will dig in, back in game one against Liguria, Woods was one of the players who didn't have much success against Liguria, so this is a good opportunity for Liguria to just get into the game. But on deck is Danielle Atosky. And last time against Liguria hit one of the furthest home runs here at Penguin Field as Wood sends a fly ball into right. Mott is back. She reaches out and makes the grab. Fantastic play by Peyton Mott. My call did not do it justice because that was not an easy catch.
Just about to mention to you, Ethan, I don't think the Penguins have needed a shutdown inning more than they do right now this entire afternoon. So to see Mott reach back and make a grab like that, what clutch play, really.
And the way that she was tracking the ball, she seemed confident the entire time. No panic, no rush in her demeanor. Just went back and made a spectacular catch as Toski ropes one over the APU dugout. And out of play, no balls and one strike. This is the player that you need to look out for. Took Liguria deep back in game one. A moonshot, if I've ever seen one.
And going back to that Mott catch just now, especially difficult for over there in right field because that eucalyptus shade over there is, she's kind of half, when she made that catch, she's kind of half in the shade, half in the sun. So it could definitely be distracting as you're trying to track a fly ball.
One ball and one strike, the count to Toski. As Liguria tries to pitch a shutdown inning. The 1-1 pitch, just a bit low. Two balls and one strike. Coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 3 days in a row, one off day for the Penguins softball team. Biola will come into town for four games over 2 days as Liguria pitches another fastball over the outside corner. Two balls and two strikes. And Thursday, bright and early, 9 a.m. against Concordia Irvine. The Eagles will come back into town. The number three Concordia Irvine Eagles. The 2-2 pitch to Toski, swing, rolls over, ground ball to Waltman at short, throw to first in time by a step. I won't say in plenty of time because Toski was busting it down that line, but it is out. Number two, Jenna Gorman. Actually, it was a foul ball the third time today. I already put it in my scorebook.
You know, I think we've found that some people have different interpretations of what a foul ball is.
That was an illegal pitch by Liguria.
Whatever that means.
She probably didn't set right or her foot was off the rubber. And a ground ball to short. Waldman to first, and I don't have to change my book. Out number two.
Cheers, folks.
Ball don't lie.
Ball certainly does not lie. If I've learned one thing from Penguin Radio, I think that would be it.
Ball don't lie. As now Jenna Gorman will step up to bat. But the base is empty and two outs and a two-run lead for the Cougars. Liguria's first pitch, swinging a ground ball to short. Waltman bobbles, recovers, and plenty of time to throw out the catcher. And that's how the inning will come to an end, but it looks like the coach wants to have a couple of words. But as it stands right now, things have changed multiple times with these umpires. But the defense is coming out, so I guess we'll put it in the book. 6-3 to end the top of the seventh. We head to the bottom of the seventh inning. Penguins down by two. Azusa looking for the doubleheader sweep. Well, welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Ethan Estrada, Soren O'Connell. For the final game of this doubleheader, the final inning of this doubleheader, if the score stands, and as it stands, it is Azusa 10, Dominican 8. Dennis leads off with the ground ball foul, just foul. Dennis almost was able to get a bit of luck. It'll be Dennis, Mott, and Chinchilla here in the seventh inning.
Well, if you want to have a good leadoff hitter for an inning, you want someone who gets walks. Daylon Dennis certainly does that. Team leader in walks, and we've seen what leadoff walks can do for teams here at Penguin Field.
The next pitch from Ong misses way upstairs with the Rhines ball. Count goes to one ball, one strike to Daylon Dennis. The 1-1 pitch misses upstairs. Two balls, one strike. And Mott on deck, it can be said that she's one of the more clutch hitters for the Penguins, has come up with key hits in key situations. The 2-1 pitch to Dennis, popped it up in the infield. I'm calling everybody off, and she makes the catch. For out number one, although they say you shouldn't do it, Ung did it anyway, calling everybody off to catch that pop-up. But I think that's more of a baseball thing, because baseball, you have the mound, you have to run off the mound, and all that fun stuff. In softball, the flat ground all around for the circle. Mott went the check swing, says Heathcote, but calls it a foul tip off the bat. Strike one. So no balls, one strike to count to Peyton Mott. Changeup down in the dirt, nice block by Gorman. One ball, one strike. Mott just trying to get on base and hand it over to Chinchilla and Reyes. The 1-1 pitch, swing and a miss. Foul ball, actually. I guess you got a little piece of that one.
Looks like it hit off of Gorman's chest plate. Went right back out towards the mound.
Either way, another beautiful curveball spun in there by Kat Ung. That's the pitch that she's had working all game long. The 1-2 pitch to Mott. Fastball misses up and out. Two balls and two strikes. Penguins just trying to get base runners, trying to make this one interesting here in the bottom of the seventh. Azusa with a two-run lead pop-up. Burkhart is there, and she'll put it away for out number two. The Penguins down to their final out, and Azusa one out away from claiming the doubleheader sweep.
You know, Ethan, I really wanted Mott to get on there. I wanted to make some kind of, like, apple juice or applesauce joke. Of course, Mott is the big-time applesauce company.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to come up with a little bit of a brainstorm on puns like that.
First pitch to Chinchilla, misses down low with the curveball from Ung. So Chinchilla with the slight advantage early on in this at-bat. The 1-0 pitch, swing and pops it up foul, backing out of play, one ball and one strike. Of course, I'm pretty sure I exhausted all of my Cougar puns the last time Azusa was here.
There could always be more. We'll figure something out.
The 1-1 pitch, swing and a fly ball. Dangerous zone, but it'll land harmlessly foul and out of play down that left field line. One ball and two strikes. So now the Penguins down to their final strike, down by two here in the bottom of the seventh inning. Azusa took game one, 3-0 behind Raquel Espinoza, spinning a beauty. And now Kat Ung trying to slam the door on the Penguins here in game two as Chinchilla pulls it foul right past Reyes and the on-deck Penguin. It's not a circle. They made it like a little penguin. Cal remains one ball and two strikes.
For those wondering at home, they did not turn the on-deck circle for the Cougars into a cougar. I wish they did, but we can't all have what we want.
1-2 pitch, called strike three, and that's how the doubleheader comes to an end. Azusa takes game two by a final score of 10-8. Kat Ung gets the W, and Azusa gets the doubleheader sweep and two more victories to their Pac West record.
And you know, it's funny, Ethan, it happened the same way in the Humboldt State doubleheader. Super low scoring first game, super high scoring second game, and the Penguins lose out by a small margin in both. It's just tough to see a team lose so many close games.
Well, that'll do it. We will be back on Tuesday, Thursday, and Wednesday when Biola and Concordia Irvine come back into town. That'll do it for Soren O'Connell, Forrest Hunt, and Ethan Estrada. So long, till next time.